Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the How We Interview podcast. In this episode, I had the opportunity to talk with my friend Alex Herr again. Alex leads EB at GoDaddy. He had his 7-month-old son with him too, so you're going to get a little baby time in this episode as well. We spent some time talking about just what we've seen, our progression through the space, and really how you maintain your personal brand in addition to the thing we all do for our day jobs, which is maintaining our company's brand as well. How do you balance those two? How do you tell the two apart? What does that even look like? He gives a lot of great insight, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the How We Interview podcast. I have my good friend Alex Herr with us. This is our second run through the podcast. Thank you for joining, Alex. How you doing?
Doing good, good. I feel like I'm on one of the famous podcast shows, not that this is not, but like a armchair expert where they have like two, you know, second time, third time guest on. So it's an honor to be back here, my friend.
It's good to have you. There are certain podcasts I listen to because I think that's what you do. But I think once you start podcasting, right, or whether you're on a podcast, you tend to tune into certain ones. And I always look forward to like the Ringer podcast or what have you. Or I'm like, oh, you know, Shea Serrano is going to be on again or something like that. So you're like my Shea Serrano. That's amazing.
Oh, that's good. I'll take it as a compliment.
Absolutely, as you should. And we have a special guest with us as well, Alex. We've got baby Herr with us, who's 7 months old.
He's 7 months old, actually, as of yesterday. So he's big into the Elmo and Bluey scene and big into taking up a lot of my time. But, you know, he's been good, though.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations to you and your
Thank
family.
Thank you.
I know the first time we had you on, you talked about your background. I'd love it if you can kind of give us like the cliff notes of your background again, in case somebody missed the first episode, because I love your journey and I love what you're doing now, which we'll get into here in a sec.
Sure. Thanks. Since the last time, this is kid number three now. So I have two during the first appearance, three now. I'm the head of employer brand at GoDaddy.com. Also co-founder of the EB space, an all Discord community for free. That's global. And just love talking about anything and everything, employer brand, personal brand. I don't want to be like the Samuel L. Jackson of everything, but I try to do what I can to give back that and just love traveling and love a little bit of the karaoke as well.
Yeah, I have yet to witness your karaoke skills. One of these days, and when we're at a conference together, I have to go check it out. I've heard good things.
In due time.
Yeah, 100%. That and Malort, I think, are the two things that we have done. I think one of the things you mentioned, giving back, and we talked the first time about how like some people were really instrumental as we were kind of getting our feet wet in this industry to helping us, you know, answer questions, provide guidance and counsel. And when we had started, there really wasn't like an employer brand community. It was just a bunch of people and we were all kind of disjointed and no two jobs were the same. Fast forward, God, 10, almost 15, 15 years now. And you've got your own Discord channel. You're an in-demand speaker. I saw you were speaking overseas, which is amazing. You're in Croatia, which we talked about, which is super cool.
Oh, yes.
What's that journey even like? Do you ever look back and go like, oh, my God, this is crazy how I went from kind of wet behind the ears and not really knowing what even employer brand meant all this time ago to now being one of the prominent voices in the space?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, I think it's we're no different than maybe, you know, the up and coming sports leagues that are now where they're at now. I think like the WNBA is one of the best examples where, okay, you're kind of building things out and you're not really being taken serious. And eventually you get there and, okay, maybe you become more mainstream, which I think EB definitely has, but you still feel like there's so much more to prove, right? It's like you're the underdog, you have a chip on your shoulder. But I think it's gotten better, right? And I say that all the time, but it's true. Like to see the positions that I'm a nerd with the stuff, I'll keep the job alerts on just because I want to see, okay, who's hiring? Like, what are they hiring for? Do they really know what they're hiring for? Are they trying to get like an entire team of one person? But to see the titles, just the respect and how people are actually, you know, when you talk to these leaders who are hiring for those teams, like what they're looking for, and just the knowledge they have now versus before, it's night and day. Because before it was, I want someone who can do this and push our jobs out there. Now they realize, okay, do I need an EVP? I want someone who knows content, recruitment marketing. They're much more educated. You know, they're still lacking, which is why they're looking for folks like us. But it's amazing to see.
Yeah. It's funny to watch the evolution of these roles. Like, I remember, 10 years ago, it'd be like, we want somebody who either may have been a recruiter or has a marketing background. You need to be able to hold down the half dozen recs at a time, manage this laundry list of things, which didn't really make a ton of sense, but it was like basically anything but recruiting, to now really allowing people to lean in very specifically in the employer brand. It's a crazy evolution.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, it's definitely they can respect the work and the expertise behind it now versus before.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like with kind of the slowdown we've seen in an industry, it's been a brutal market? I mean, anytime you post a job and you get all, I feel really badly for folks that are still kind of seeing jobs. Do you feel like employer brand now maybe is not necessarily as important, but maybe organizations aren't investing as heavily as they were kind of and when I mean investing heavily, that's both like in human capital and also just in resources.
Yeah. I think they're back to that now. I think it, our field was definitely impacted just like many others. Right. Because I think we were doing a great job. And then, you know, late 22, early 23, every company decided, okay, they were going to cut just, you know, conveniently enough, like 7-8% of their staff, which, makes it difficult. And then we're always seeing, you know, we get lumped in with TA where it's a nice to have, and we're still trending. We're still on that journey to show, okay, hey, this is, we kind of need this when the times are good, but also when the times are bad. So you did see that happen quite a bit, but I think it's recovered quite well, actually, because you have companies who are like not just looking for, you know, a specialist, they're looking for leaders, they're looking for all variety of positions, which I think is telling to me, but I still don't think we have the budget we necessarily need. I think I'm fortunate with where I work, where, okay, I have a good amount to work with, but others still have that problem. So I don't know if that gets better in a year, 5 years, or if that's more just advocating for oneself and one's function, which is more on a case-by-case basis then.
Yeah, I think, well, you said two things that really struck me. One is, 10, 12 years ago, everything was an associate position, right? Associate manager, maybe a manager, maybe a lead. Now you're full, like director level positions. I've seen some vice presidents, senior vice presidents of employer brand, which is like, that's an awesome trend to see. But also with budgets either flatlining or maybe going down, there's this feeling like, well, you can just be scrappy. Just figure it out, right? And scrappy work often gives you scrappy results. It does take a certain amount of investment to do this well.
I agree. And I think it's, I think we've put ourselves in that box by doing that, because, you know, at the time you may have $1,000-$2,000 to go have fun and see what you could do to make stuff happen. Yeah. But the problem with that is you show them, okay, well, why should we give you more budget? Because you can do this with X amount of dollars. And I think it's more of having that, that tough conversation, which I think comes with maturity and confidence in what we truly do and how we can benefit the company. Because if we go to them and say, okay, listen, yeah, I could do it with $2,000, but what if I had $50,000? Yeah. What if I had $100,000? We could do so much more that's impactful long-term versus short-term. So I think having those conversations are necessary, but I used to really pride myself on being scrappy too, but I think it's good to an extent. You know, when you find yourself just running circles and you really wish you had those, I would say nice, but tough to have conversations, because once they do happen, there's a lot more respect and a lot more budget that you will get for having those conversations.
Yeah. We're bumping into a topic that I wasn't even planning on talking about, but let's go here.
Sure.
Do you have any favorite ways or like kind of tricks of the trade? I don't want you to show the whole bag, because that's, you know, your proprietary stuff, and I'm happy to share as well. Like, what are your go-to ways to kind of show ROI or to encourage those who are making the decisions around budgets and spend to help them get a level of comfort with what it is you want to do?
So I think for me, it's getting away from the vanity metrics that may, like, we may geek out on that because, you know, we always have a digital marketing aspect to our jobs, right? But it's what matters to, like, the people who we're servicing. You know, it's got to matter to sales, engineering, to internal comms, to TA, and then to senior level leadership. Because if we can't, if we just say, hey, this is great, that's not an ROI to them. It's cool to us, but that's it. Like, you know, we may get a like from a competitor that may be like Google or something. That's okay. It's very subjective. It doesn't do much for them. But if I'm looking at something, for example, if we're running an employee advocacy program, and I know it only cost us X amount of dollars, but the value, the ROI we've seen is like 20 times that, I can share that because that shows them, okay, this is what we can do. And also by doing this, we can actually wean ourselves away from, you know, expensive job boards that we don't need to be using where it's more or less posting and praying. Yeah. So I think that's impactful. When it comes to the overall employer brand, like, I think getting that, you know, looking at surveys that we have or looking at where the source of your traffic, I don't think people talk about that enough because, yes, we're running campaigns, we're sharing different things on social, but how are people finding you? Because to me, it's very telling when you're not getting a lot of paid traffic, but you're getting a lot of direct traffic because that means I've put enough stuff out there that has either annoyed the crap out of you or captured your interest, right? Where you've gone from being a passive job seeker, like we always talk top of funnel. So you've seen enough of this stuff here in terms of the live content I'm producing where you say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to click there. I'm actually going to type in this career page. And so you've made that effort because of all the work that we've done. I think that pulls it all together and says, we're doing a pretty good job then.
Yeah, that's really important. And I probably don't do it enough myself is don't look at the easy things, look at kind of the secondary things. Cause that may, yes, be, that may be the entire story. You mentioned vanity metrics. And I think depending on where you come from to end up in this space, it's really easy to say, well, I had this many clicks, I had this many reactions, mm-hmm, I had this engagement. But at the end of the day, you and I are judged on how we support the hiring of our particular, yeah, organizations. And those metrics don't necessarily translate.
No.
The quickest way I've seen to lose an executive is you say, but we got 3,000 clicks. They don't care. They don't. I mean, because they know they have empty seats. And if your efforts can't somehow translate into their business objectives, because empty seats mean lost revenue. Lost revenue means you're not going to make your targets. And it's got a very downstream effect, which A, is stressful. B, I think it tells us where we need to focus our attention, how we tell that story.
Oh, exactly. And I had I know Nick Thompson shared this. I'm not sharing anything that's a secret. He shared this at RecFest, I want to say 2 summers ago. And it's, we always look at time to fill, time to hire, and we don't really know why does that matter to leadership? But you pointed out that too in a way that, okay, butts in seats, because butts in seat equals, okay, projects get done quicker. And, you know, what the company does, they start making more money. That, you know, that project that has been put on the shelf for, you know, a couple quarters because it didn't have staff. Okay, well, now you have the staff to do it. You can work on that. And then maybe put out a different product after that. But it results in more revenue that's coming back into the pockets of, you know, leadership and shareholders. I mean, because ultimately, you know, we're working for our leaders, and leaders have to support and everything as a whole to keep the business afloat. So I think getting us to, you know, look at more of how does the work impact areas such as that, because if we can show, hey, we're actually getting people in 50 days versus 65, that's huge. That matters quite a bit. Like, or even if you can knock it down a couple of days. So as you mentioned, impressions, clicks, those are cool, but 3,000 clicks, CTR, you could take that to a different level too, but the vanity metrics, keep that there. It's good to know. You've got to still measure your progress, but find a way to tie that into something else that will really, really stand out to leadership.
This episode of How We Interview is brought to you by Riembi. You understand the importance of maximizing your team's efficiency. Instead of having your recruiters or coordinators spend time with expense reports to reimburse candidates for interview expenses, automate the process with Riembi. Riembi streamlines the reimbursement process, ensuring your candidates receive their reimbursement quickly and accurately. Your team can focus on other essential aspects of the hiring process by eliminating reimbursement tasks from their workload. Automating reimbursements is a significant improvement to the candidate experience. No more dealing with spreadsheets, attaching receipts to emails, or waiting weeks to receive the payout. With Riembi, the reimbursement payout to your candidates is sent the same day expenses are approved. To learn more about how Riembi can help your team, visit Riembi.com. That's Riembi, R-E-I-M-B-I.com.
1,000,000%. I could not agree more. I think it's, you know, the folks in our business, and this isn't even employer brand. It could be recruitment marketing. It could be sourcing. It could be a variety of different things. But helping tie, like, the very front end of your efforts in dollars and cents, even if there's a little bit of creative accounting in there, in dollars and cents, how you're impacting the business, it's a lot easier to get your stuff funded.
Oh, it is. It is. When they can see what you're doing and why it matters, and, okay, if you can maybe get away from a product or... I'm not saying LinkedIn or Indeed. I'm not also not saying it's not them as well. But if you can find a way to get away from them and you save the company money, I think you're going to win over a few folks by doing so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let's shift gears. I know last time we talked, your Discord channel was out, but it hadn't been out in a super long time. I'd love to talk about how that's going, what you're seeing, and just kind of what life looks like when you belong to that community.
It's going pretty well, my friend, because we, when Claire and I put it together, we said, okay, let me get 20 friends that can follow us from these other communities and, you know, believe in something like this. Maybe we could chat about the same stuff we chat about in other communities. It may work. Yeah. Here we are, I think it's almost 2 years now. We have about 605 individuals globally. And yeah, it's amazing. And then, you know, now we have, you know, sponsors who have reached out who value what we're doing, which is good, right? Because if you're not getting people who want to do something with you, I think it's a problem. So there's value behind that. And then to me, I actually had a really good conversation last night, and it was from someone from Singapore, because we wanted to make this global and not just US or UK centric. And they said that, hey, listen, I joined because I saw what you were about, you know, you and Claire, the community you built, and it's been extremely helpful, especially in an area like this where employer brand is still quite new, right? It's not even at every single company, but it's helped me out. And that is just, that's huge, because we, you know, we use these different tools and we're like, oh, okay, you know, we can hypothetically, we want it to be something, but to have someone impacted by that and hear that from them directly is just, that's priceless, right? You really can't quantify that.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier today about a different topic, but we were talking about how much pent-up demand there is for a sense of community and a sense of connection. Thank you, COVID, right? There were some things in this space that never really survived the pandemic. So I feel like what you are doing, A, thank you for giving back to the community, because you've always been so generous with your time. But also just, you know, creating spaces where people can ask questions and learn. And that's something that... You know, a lot of things snap back from the pandemic. That didn't, especially in the Asian community. So I think it's really, really, really important what you're doing there.
Yeah, thanks. I think, like you said, we lost a lot of outlets like that where people could go there, they could ask questions, they could learn, they could make mistakes, because now you're in a market where, it's gotten better, but then you're still competing with people who, maybe some people have it down already, right? You don't have all the answers down to the questions. And you're in a bad spot, but having a community, having people you can rely on that can help you navigate those situations, I think will help you out, whether it be in the interview process or if you're, you know, kind of in a dicey situation where you're looking to show your value or to keep your job. I mean, that's, we try to service all those. I mean, that's probably just scratching the surface on the type of things that we deal with, but we just try to be an outlet for people, help them out, and just, you know, answer the questions that we had before and, you know, the new ones that may come up with all the fun stuff we have with AI and all these new platforms we have now versus before.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you a question. It's one of the things I admire a lot of things about you. One of the things I've always admired is you've been able to maintain a very healthy personal brand and do it in a way that doesn't feel icky. And that's not a very scientific term, but you do a really good job of balancing offering guidance and content and having I would consider like a very polished and well thought out personal brand, but do it in such a way that's not self-serving. That's not like, because you've got nothing to sell here, right?
Yeah.
To get back to the greater good. I would love to get kind of your feelings on like, what are some of the things in your mind you try to emulate when you're thinking about your own personal brand? And then when people come to you and they're like, hey, Alex, I want to be more out there, I want to be more visible, what kind of advice would you give them?
So I would say, for me to craft out or like kind of find my voice, Yeah, I definitely credit Brian Chaney when we, we were part of TBA together, you and I. And I didn't know who I was going to be, right? I didn't think I was anybody. I still don't think I'm not much of anybody at all. But it was okay. Listen, you can't be like, I admire, friends like James Ellis who are super smart. There's James Ellis, there's Hung Lee. There's so many people who know their stuff that I think are extremely intelligent, but I can't break it down that way, right? I understand the way that I understand, which is I try to make it simple, make it relatable, and then make it, practical for anybody to take and, use in their everyday. Sorry. Is that coming through?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can hear me.
That's context for our discussion.
All right. I just try to make it easier for people because I think when you try to make it too, the way I look at it is if you try to make it too over the top, people just don't know how to relate to that, right? Yeah. We all learn in different ways, but if you just make it simple for them, I think that works. When I got into just really putting myself out there personal brand wise, I saw people early on in the early days of LinkedIn when I was struggling with 300 connections. I thought if I had 350, the world would be amazing. It's changed since then. But you see people who just were, excuse my friends, they're just assholes about everything. Like, okay, so what? You have X amount of followers. It doesn't make you better than me or anybody else. And I never want to be that. I always want to be who I am. We've had a chance to hang out. Like, I'm not that person that rides on their high horse. Like, I love chatting, connecting, and helping people out. And I hope that is a reflection, it reflects who I am with my personal brand. But to answer the last part of your question, if for someone who wants to get themselves out there, you just gotta try. It's very simple. I mean, probably the easiest thing you can do is you can, instead of creating content because people are scared, you don't know where to start, you can curate. So maybe take an article that, let's say, one that you and I have written or another organization, and, share your thoughts. That's the best thing you can do. That was what I was taught in the early days before Google Plus was eliminated. I couldn't tell shit from fuck, honestly. Like, I was just trying to navigate, and I had a guy from the Middle East, and he was like, hey, listen, I get what you're trying to do, but then try just adding something, just a couple lines. That would really work some wonders for you.
It's like so, days of, what was LinkedIn's product where you could curate content and send it out,
Ooh, I don't think I had the chance to work with that one.
It was fantastic. They actually shut it down. And so years ago, at a prior employer, I'm like, I want us to brand from the inside out. I want my team. We had a huge recruiting team, right? Hundreds of people. And I'm like, I want people to curate content. And people would just, to that your point, they would find an article from Forbes or Fast Company. They'd slap it on LinkedIn with no context. And they'd be like, why am I not getting any engagement? It's really weird. And it's a nuance, but it's important. People don't only want the thing. They want why. Like, why should I click on this? Why should I read it? Why does this matter, right?
Exactly. Because, you can put one line there and then it's just, okay, if you're not leading them on to like what your thoughts are on that article or if there's a CTA to it, they have nothing to do with it. So then from there, it's okay. Once you've done that a couple of times, right? Like, what are your thoughts on something? I mean, obviously, don't be controversial in a very bad way. But, okay, let's say if, I post something, you have an opposing thought on that. Okay, well, great. Post an article. Do that. But stand by it. People respect people who actually stand by things and not try to be very vanilla with stuff. And, it can be scary. Like if people are putting stuff out there and, they feel, okay, someone's going to comment back, that may happen, right? That comes with the territory. So you got to enjoy it when you get the likes and the positive comments, but also you have to still enjoy it too when, there's no thumbs down, but when you get the angry emojis or people will come back at you, that's going to happen. But you got to embrace the good and the bad. But outside that, I would say, outside of looking to do that, like there's so much good that can happen. I think we try to stick too much to a company's brand. Right. And that, back in the day, there was a lot of power behind, okay, I work here, I work there, which is cool. If you're that person, more power to you. But I think embracing your personal brand and really hitting home at what you're about, sticking by it, showcasing, what you like, what you enjoy, what your expertise is. I think that helps you out more than anything, especially if you're impacted by, let's say, a redundancy. Because then you're not waiting until, okay, you've been let go, and then now your personal brand magically shows up because you got so much time on your hands. You're actually opening more doors with the personal brand. People will know what you're about. So if you have to put the green banner on, okay, well, people can say, hey, this guy knows his stuff. Let me talk to him about this. Or they will tell another person. You're not, you know, waiting and hoping and praying after everything's happened.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the How We Interview podcast brought to you by Riembi. Head to our website at howweinterview.com to find the show notes and links mentioned in this episode. While you're there, subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Leaving us a rating and review also helps us reach more listeners interested in learning from other talent acquisition professionals.